celebrate.
We celebrate the presence of our God. You are here,
the Holy One,
the Holy One,
the One that we adore.
You are here
to worship you.
It's such a sweet reward.
You are here
in our midst.
You are here. Father, we are so grateful for honoring our gathering up worship with your sweet presence. Thank you. We are grateful. Grateful to you, the faithful God. As we go into the Word, we ask that that presence follow us into the Word. Come and open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Anoint me afresh. Let me speak as I should, as an oracle of God. Put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of all that will hear me, those who are physically present and those who will hear me remotely, electronically. Let your word flow freely from you, Father, through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own. In particular, causing our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Further, pray that as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God be released in great and sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men so that they will become doers of what they hear and are hearers only. We also pray for mercy to be faithful, to deliver the word with precision, to redeem the time and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all in agreement, receiving every blessing and mention in their individual lives, agreed individually and said, I have a very important prophetic message for us this afternoon. It's actually like a continuation of my message last week on understanding prophecy and the prophetic ministry. But this time I, by the help of the Holy Spirit, want to share, not just with this church, but with the body of Christ, the vital importance of seeing and fulfilling prophetic destiny. At three levels. The level of the individual, the level of the church, and then the level of the nation. God has a destiny that has already been written and decided by Him in His Word for every individual, for His church, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and for the nations of the earth. But alas, alas, many live and die and not fulfill their destiny. Not because it's not the will of God, but because man has a free will to choose whether he will fulfill the will of God or not. For instance, this is obvious. It is the will of God that all men be saved. The Bible says so. He's not willing that any should perish. But millions every day are perishing and going to hell. Not because it's not the will of God, but because man being created in the image and the likeness of God, has a free will. And he can choose. It is a divine ability that God has given man, and he does not break it. He can choose what he wants. It's for this reason, when God brought Israel out of Egypt, through Moses, he said to them, I set before you this day life and death. Therefore, choose life, that it may be well with thee, that you might live long in this new land that I have given you. But if we look at history, it is a sad commentary and tragic that a large number didn't do that. Many chose death instead of life. We thank God for the Joshuas and the Calebs who did choose life. Thank God for the Josephs and the Daniels who did choose life. But alas, alas, they are the Ahabs and the Jeroboams and the Ahithophels who chose death. I bring you a sobering message from the throne of God. You have two responsibilities. Number one, you need to see your divine destiny that has already been written before you were born. Before you were conceived in your mother's womb, God had a plan. You are not an accident. He had a plan for you, and he has recorded that plan in the Bible, and it is hidden. It's there, but it is hidden in types and shadows. It is your responsibility to dig it out. For the scripture tells us, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it is the honor of kings to search it out. But he has not left you without help. He has given you the complete canon of scripture. He is giving you the Holy Spirit himself. You could never have a better helper. He is giving you the ability to speak those mysteries in a supernatural heavenly language where you can put it into the air and then from there condense it and bring it into your mind so you can see it and you can fulfill it. To do otherwise is to do despite to the Spirit of grace. To neglect these great provisions that God Almighty has given us is to insult him. I'm speaking by the Spirit. What I'm saying is not even in my notes. I'm going to get to my notes in a minute. But I'm just speaking by the Spirit. There's an unction in this place. In Psalm 50, it's not in my notes. The Spirit of God just brought it to me. He said, what do I have to do with you that you take my covenant in your mouth? When you will take my instruction and put it behind you. It is not that God has not made available what can be done and what can be used. It is that man chooses to neglect it, to despise it. Like it says in Psalm 50, it says, you put it behind your back. People will hear God's word. The day of his judgment has come. This also is not in my notes. But the Bible says, let every man take heed how he builds. Some build with gold and silver and precious stones. Others build with wood, hay, and stubble. He said, for the day will declare it. That day is upon us. The day is dawning now. You can't hide anymore. The fire is going to try every man's work of what sort it is. And if you've built properly, you're going to receive a reward. The reward of the Spirit of God without measure. The power of the Spirit without measure. And if you build, God forbid, with wood, whey and stubble, the work will be built, will be burnt up. Even though you will be saved, you go to heaven, but you will suffer loss. That's not God's will for you. So I bring you this word. Seeing and fulfilling your divine destiny. Now to my notes. Everyone has a prophetic destiny, God's will and plan for their lives, recorded and hidden. The word hidden there is very important. It's there. And that's the only way God could do it. He had to hide it in types and shadows because there is only one book for billions of people. If God was to write the individual details of everybody's life, the book would be so big, nobody would be able to read it. So God coded it. Today in computer science, we understand code. The Bible is prophetic code. He coded it so he can use one scripture to speak to 1 billion people. I gave this example early on in the Bible study. The Bible says, out of Egypt have I called my son. It's one scripture. But it has billions of applications. It applied to Israel as a nation. It applied to the Lord Jesus Christ as an individual. And it applies to each and every one of us as an individual. The Bible is full of such scriptures. Everything that God wants your life, for your life, is already written inside the Bible. And it was decided in heaven before you were born. You were not an accident. You were put into the earth after God's plan for your life had been ratified by the three persons of the Godhead and coded inside the Bible before you were released into your mother's womb. He said it to Jeremiah, but it's true of everybody. This was even before conception. Somebody said, where were you? You were a thought in God's mind. We sang that song. He said, he took the fall and thought of me. He has, before he does anything, he has already thought it through. God is not careless. So when you were born into the earth, at the time that you were born, in the place that you were born, to the parents that you were born into, all of it was planned. See, the human agents, which are your mother and your father, are just human agents that God used biologically to create the fetus or the zygote, you know, if my biology is still right, you know, into which the spirit would come. But they had no idea of what was in the mind of the divine. So when they came together and had sex and all of that, God was just watching. When that particular fetus, you know, was created through the fertilization of the sperm and the egg, then God decided, I'll draw this one from heaven and put it there. Then another one does it. They say, I'll draw this one from heaven and I'll put it there. He's a great God. So never regret where you were born. When you were born. How you were born. It has nothing to do with your divine destiny. If you will seek God, irrespective of your state of birth, good or bad, in quotes, your divine destiny will be fulfilled if you do what I'm going to tell you today. It far transcends your human conditions into which you were born. And history is replete with it. You find people who are born in king's palaces and they don't do anything with their destiny. And you find people who are born in the most disadvantaged situations, in poverty, without any apparent advantage in life, and you find them rising to the pinnacle. What is the difference? The mercy of God through an honest and a humble heart. I don't want to get lyrical. My wife is better than that, and I am. I'm not a poet. I'm not an English major, so I will leave it there. I was about to go on, but I will leave it there. Now let's look at scripture. The first scripture I'm going to share with you, well, I'm first of all going to deal with this thing on an individual basis. Then I'm going to look at the destiny of nations. Then I'm going to look at the destiny of the church. Or the destiny of the church, and I'm going to look at the destiny of nations. Well, they really go hand in hand. And it's all interwoven. What is the church? It's made of individuals. It is when individuals in the church fulfill their individual destiny that the church fulfills her destiny. And it's when the church fulfills her destiny that the nation in which that church is fulfills her destiny. So you're looking at a very big picture, and that is why it is very foolish, myopic, you know, short-sighted, to only think about yourself. The fulfilling of your divine destiny has a ripple effect in the church and in the nation in which you are born. And you're not fulfilling it also has an effect. It could be positive or it could be negative. What would have happened? I just got a text from heaven. It's a rhetorical question. What would have happened if when they got to Babylon, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego just said, "We will eat the same food like everybody else eats"? And we will just behave. I mean, we're here in Babylon. After all, God didn't protect us. And he just left us to be captured. I'm going to enjoy my life, Ujari. The Holy God, I've never thought of that before. The Holy Spirit just put it in my heart now. He said, and it was only those four. What would have happened? Of all the young men that were taken into Babylon, God could find only four. But he did what he needed to do through those four. Four. And they upturned empires. From Nebuchadnezzar to Belteshazzar to Darius to Cyrus, so that the purpose of God for their nation was fulfilled through the fulfillment of the prophetic destiny of four individuals. It's a sobering truth to us today. I got another text. The Holy Ghost said I should ask you. I'm saying this to Olubi Johnson. I'm saying it to Sarah Johnson. I'm saying it to Boyega Adeshion. I'm saying to each, every one of us as individuals. Do you know whether you were brought to the kingdom for such a time as this? It's a question each of you should ask. Answer. Do you know whether you were born into Nigeria at this time? For such a time as this. not thy peace. For if you hold your peace, God will raise deliverance from another quarter. But you and your father's house will be destroyed. Pastor Olubi, don't curse me. I didn't curse you. I'm just telling you scripture. Is it sober? Is it straight from heaven? Don't play around with your destiny. For you know not whether you were born for such a time as this. And for you to neglect it is to bring destruction upon yourself. Just like he told Esther. Revelation chapter 22. I like that. Keep playing it just that quietly. Exactly. As it's there as if it's not there. You can record it and then just let it play itself so you yourself can pay attention to the message. Revelation chapter 22, verse 19. It is very strategic that John, the Revelator, the beloved disciple, was given by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gave him these words to write, and he put it at the end of the canon. Even though it was in the book of Revelation, but God, knowing what John did not know, that Revelation would be the last book of the Bible, so he allowed John to write it at the end of the book of Revelation with application to the entire canon of scripture. It's not an accident. And if any man take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take his part out of the book of life. Turn to your neighbor and say, every man born of woman has a part in the book of life. You often hear religious people say, you know, come and accept Jesus so your name will be written in the book of life. It's already there. The day you are born of your mother, your name was in the book of life. There are actually two books. I found this from study of scripture. You can check me out. There's no point to argue a theological thing. It's a fact. There is the book of life. Then there's the Lamb's book of life. I'll tell you what the difference. The book of life is the one where everybody's name is recorded. Once you are born, once God has put your spirit into the fetus in your mother's womb, and you are born, that your name automatically is registered in the book of life. This is before Jesus came. How do I know? Moses tells God, when God is angry and he wants to destroy Israel, he says, go away from me. I will destroy them. I will make a great nation of you. And Moses tells God, said, God, turn away from this your fierce anger. Can you imagine? For if the Egyptians hear it, they would say that, you know, you couldn't save them. That's why you brought them to the wilderness to destroy them. And if you won't do it, he said, block me out of your book. So there was a book. This is before Jesus came. Then there is the Lamb's book of life, which is the book in which everybody that is saved by the blood of the Lamb is written. So when you get born of your mother, your name is written in the book of life. When you get born again, your name is now written in the Lamb's book of life. So there are two registers. So on the day of judgment, the two books are open. If a man dies without accepting Christ, his name will not be in the Lamb's book of life. Then his name that was in the book of life will be removed. So when they run through the register, you will see the blank. So it says in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, it says, and the books, plural, were opened. And another book, which is the book of life. And everyone whose name was not found in the book of life was cast into the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. It will not be your portion in Jesus' name. Keep your name in the books. Another message for another day. So, everybody has a part in the book of life. Number, the second phrase in that verse, and out of the holy city. I didn't hear you. What's wrong with you tonight? Turn to your neighbor and say, everybody has a part in the holy city. Oh, yeah. You know, this question of mansions in heaven is not fiction. It's real. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. It's not figurative. You can apply it figuratively, but it's not just figurative. It's literal. Everybody has a part in the book of, in the holy city. Everybody. But what you do or you don't do can have it removed. But it's there. See, that is why on the day of judgment, everybody will know that God is justified. God will open the books. His plan, what you would have been, it will be played back in three-dimensional video in front of you. And you will know that God was justified. You will see how God sent angels to intervene in your life at different points in time in your life and how you walked away. How you refused. How God sent apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. How God put you in a particular city and planted you in a particular church to fulfill your destiny, and how you threw it away because of some carnal thing. Everything will be played back. The last part. And from the things which are written in this book. Turn to your neighbor and say, everybody has things that are written, not only in the book of Revelation, but in the entire Bible. So it's there. God's plan for your life is written in the Bible. Psalm 139, verse 16. The mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Psalm 139, verse 16. Psalm 139, verse 16. There we go. I'll read the King James first and I'll read the Amplified. The Amplified is clearer. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book, turn to your neighbor, say, God has many books. This is one of them. And in thy book, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. This person, this God, you know, that we just, you know, every day we just say, Father, Jesus, you know, sometimes we lose sight of how great he is. You know, familiarity breeds contempt. Although God wants us to be familiar with him, he's our Father. He loves us. Really, he does. And he likes you to come and, you know, but it's like little children. You know, if your daddy is the president of Nigeria or the president of America, you know, or some big person like that, and you are only 3 years old, 4 years old, you don't know who your daddy is. Hello? So when he comes, you all go and meet him. Hey, daddy, jump on his arm and say, hello, son, how are you? And all that. You don't know the power the man wields. You're too immature. That's how many Christians are. They don't know who God is. They don't know how powerful, how wise, how great. So we take him for granted. We talk to him anyhow. He just laughs. But that has to change. You have to grow up. Amplified. You saw, your eyes saw my unformed substance. Good. And in your book, open your mouth, folks. And in your book, all the days of my life were written before they ever took shape, when as yet there was none of them. Give him a clap offering. Only, Pastor G, mommy, only a super intelligence can do this. Olubi Johnson, born May 2, 1959, in UCH, Ibadan, delivered by Dr. Olikoye Ransom Kuti. True story. I didn't know. My mom and my dad met here in Ibadan. My mom had come from England. She worked in Kano. She came back in, she went in 1948. She came back in 1953. She worked in Kano for some years. And then she came to the Western region with her sister, Mrs. Biobaku, and Professor Biobaku, you know, who was the first Nigerian registrar of the University of Ibadan, you know. And she was, you know, staying with them for some time. It was her senior sister and all of that. In 1958, 57, 58, you know, they go out to clubs and go out to parties and things. Met my dad. And that's how they became friends. Then, you know, they had loved each other, blah, 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 you know. And that's how I was conceived. How would I know? But unknown to Babatunde Johnson and Kafayat Abimbola Bakare, God had a plan far beyond them, far beyond what they could think. For all the days of my life were written in his book before they ever took shape. I use my own personal example, but it's true of all of us. Your parents were just instruments. The person that is in charge of your life is God. Psalm 40, verse 7. I don't know if I can finish this message today. I think I'm going to have to break it up into two parts. It's too important. Psalm 40. And look at verse 6 and 7, I believe it is. Yes. We often quote this in terms of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's true. But it's true of everybody. No, verse 7, I want. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. Turn to your neighbor and say, you came into your mother's womb. Lo, you come into the earth. And it is written of you in the volume of the book. I've given you three witnesses. Revelation, Psalm 139, and Psalm 40. It is established. Every man's destiny has been written and recorded in the volume of the book. Whether they ever know it, whether they ever accomplish it, is a different matter. But God's done his part. And in every life, God has a way of bringing you to a knowledge of himself, giving you the Bible, giving you an education, so that you can come to know that destiny. In the Old Testament and in the olden days, before people had the knowledge of printing press and the Bible, that was why there used to be a preponderance of visions and dreams. One way or the other, God will get across to you. God's not foolish. Having looked at individuals, let us look at the plan of God for the church. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And I'm just going to look at verse 1. For the law, I didn't hear you, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never make those sacrifices which they offer year by year continually, make the commerce thereof perfect. I just want to bring out something here. I say the law contains good things to come. Anything to come is prophetic. What's in the future? So the law contained in it, when we say the law, now we're talking about the five books of Moses and then the prophets, you know, the Old Testament when Paul was writing. Today, it will include the New Testament, you know, and the entire canon of scripture. Inside it, all the things that are in the future, good things to come, are inside the law. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, and I believe it's verse 16. Good. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, means just food, or in drink, because you know in the Old Testament they had a lot of drinking, all the ceremonial laws of Moses, and in respect of a holy day like the Sabbath, or of the new moon, you know, the monthly feasts, or you know, the holy days, the feasts like Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles, the new moon is, you know, every month. Every month there was something they had to do. You had to blow the trumpet at the beginning of the month, you know, make some sacrifices of animals and stuff, and the Sabbath days. Now, which are a shadow of things to come. Everybody say things to come. Say things to come. Prophetic. What is in the future? Things to come. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 1. The law having a shadow of good things to come. Everybody say to come. To come. To come. Prophetic. Future. God's plan for the church. All the things God wants to do concerning His church, He hid it in the shadows of the Old Testament types, the feasts, particularly the feasts. Because I don't want to get into, you know, a long theological discussion and everything. I just summarize. The plan for the church, God's plan for the church, is briefly summarized in the three feasts. Passover, with Jesus fulfilled, Christ is our Passover, by dying for us on the cross. Pentecost, our infilling with the fruit, with the power of the Holy Spirit, the first fruits of the Spirit, the earnest of the Spirit. The third feast is the Feast of Tabernacles, in which we now get the fullness of the Spirit without measure, pre-shadowed, or rather, you know, with the condition of the ingathering of the fruit of the Spirit. You cannot get the Spirit without measure if you have not gathered in the fruit. It's not going to happen. And then secondly, that Spirit without measure will cause an ingathering of the harvest of the nations. That's God's plan. Nothing on this earth can change it. Now, let's intertwine them and then come to the nation and then we'll see how the Holy Spirit helps me. The church is made up of individuals. Yes, it's a collective body, many parts, but each of us is an individual. Now, for the church to fulfill its destiny, individuals need to fulfill their prophetic destiny that is written about their lives, which I've given you, and then for the church. So every individual Christian should fulfill, or let me rewind that. Every human being, before we even become Christians, every human being, the plan for his life is already interwoven with the plan of the church. For you to fulfill your divine destiny, you need to fulfill Passover, you need to fulfill Pentecost, and you need to fulfill Tabernacles. So when we say silly things, it's childish. You know, Paul said, "I could not write as unto you, as unto grown men, but as unto babes." So when you hear Christians saying, "I don't believe in tongues," he doesn't understand. He just threw away 2/3 of his destiny. Because he doesn't understand. There are no choices here. This is the way the track is laid. Every human being, for you to fulfill your prophetic destiny, all those things I spoke about earlier on, that are written for you in the volume of the book, you know, your parts in the things that are written in this book, the key to all of them is you have to fulfill Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. If you don't fulfill it, there are many things about your life you will never see. And you will not be able to fulfill them. That's not being negative. It's not a negative confession. Come on, that's childishness. You know, I'm just telling you prophetic truth. Are you listening to me? It's all interwoven. Now let's go to nations. Follow me to Acts chapter 17. The book of Acts, chapter 17, verse 26. This is the Apostle Paul speaking in Athens. He goes to a place called Mars Hill, where there are so many people, and they set one something to the unknown God. So Paul says, the person that you are ignorantly worshipping is the one I've come to declare to you. And this is what he says about God. Let's read from verse 24. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with human hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath all things. Now, this is one of the most important portions of scripture. And just as a side thing here, it's just because when things come to me by the Spirit, I just like to pick them like that. I'm picking it. You know, this was where the authors of the American Constitution picked this thing from. They said that it is evidently clear that all men are created. Where did they get it from? Here. That's why the entire American Constitution and Bill of Rights, its foundation is inside the Bible. We consider these truths to be self-evident. And he has made of one blood all nations. Turn to your neighbor, say English, American, Nigerian, Japanese, Chinese, Thailand, Indian, whatever. We all came from God. All nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth. Now, the next statement is a prophetic statement of the destiny of nations. And have determined times before. Before Nigeria was created, God had determined it before. Before Ghana was created, before America was created, before England was created, you can now understand the vision that God gave to Nebuchadnezzar. It was an overview of human history and the destiny of the empires that were to come from the time of Nebuchadnezzar to the end of time. It was determined before time. There was no Grecian empire by the time Nebuchadnezzar had his vision. There was no Roman empire. The only empire at that time was Babylon. But God saw ahead of time and said, yes, you are Babylon now, but after you is coming Medo-Persia. Then after Medo-Persia is going to come Greece. Then after Greece will now come the Roman Empire. Then the Roman Empire, I'm going to divide it into two. Castle Mengradaska. Don't you ever think anything's an accident? Not only did determine their times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, where the rivers divide, he determined the bound of our habitation. So, what is the destiny of every nation? Psalm 144. It's not just Israel. It's not just Nigeria. It's everybody. Just like, that's why I gave that simple example at the beginning. Out of Egypt, I have called my son. That applies to everybody. You see, that is why the Bible is such a wonderful book and could only have been written by super intelligence. He takes one thing and then he applies it to billions. Psalm 144. Oh, Jesus, help me. Nikato Fredesk. Next week, we're going to deal with the why and the how. Today, I'll just finish this part now. And then, turn to your neighbor and say, don't miss next week. That is a service you cannot afford to miss. The following week is where we're going to have communion. But next week, I'm going to finish this message. But I'm not done yet. Look at Psalm 144. See, I'm speaking in tongues and getting interpretation at the same time. The Holy Ghost. Verse 11. David is speaking prophetically and he has Israel in mind, but it's not only Israel. He said, "Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children whose mouth I didn't hear you. Speak at vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood." Let's just say people who are dishonest. "That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth. That our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. That our garners may be full, affording all manner of store. That our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our streets. That our oxen may be strong to labor. That there be no breaking in nor going out. That there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord." This is the destiny of all nations, but it is conditional on the people in that nation making the God their Lord. That is where the church comes in. If the church, Nikosofrenesque, if the individuals begin to fulfill their prophetic destiny And then the church fulfills its prophetic destiny. The nation has no choice. It will follow. The destiny of the nation lies in the hand of the church. I'm going to give one or two examples as I close. We know this a little bit from history. I'm going to give example about that. I'm going to give example of Nigeria and I'll close. The Holy Ghost. The reason why America became and still is to some degree, to a great degree actually, one of the strongest nations in human history. America is a great nation, in spite of all the difficulties they're even having up till now. America is one of the only nations that has gone to war to set people free, not to bring them into bondage. America has never colonized anybody. Most nations fight so that they can colonize you and they can exploit you. America has always gone out to liberate. Yes. They liberated Germany. They liberated Japan. Did they colonize Japan? No. They gave Japan back their independence. They put American money into Japan and built the Japanese economy. They put American money, you know, the Marshall Plan. They put American money into Europe and built up Europe and gave it back to them. They don't speak English in Germany. They speak German. They don't speak English in Japan. They speak Japanese. Till today, Japan and Germany can choose a different policy from America. Nations don't do that. Natural man likes to conquer and exploit. But there was a bunch of men, the Puritan fathers, who wanted to get away from the religious constriction of the Church of England. The Church of England was controlled by the state. The king, born again or not born again, sinner or saint, was the head of the church. Who didn't even know God from Adam. And imposed his will upon the people. So these men, with their wives and their families, who wanted God to serve God with freedom, they went across the ocean in times of great peril and landed on the coast of America. The place called Cape Henry and others, you know, and took a stake of that land for God. When they got in, they fasted for 3 days. And dedicated the land to God. And over the years, the church in America has had its ups and downs, but there's always been a faithful remnant. And because of that faithful remnant, the blessing of God came on the United States of America. Germany. The Reformation, the Protestant Reformation, started in Germany from a young monk called Martin Luther. That's the person Martin Luther King Jr. is named after. He had been ordained a priest in the Roman Catholic Church. He had been taught the precepts of the church. That you need to, you know, pay money so that, you know, they will pray for your father and your mother who are in purgatory. You know, and if you pay enough money, they will pray for them and then they will promote them from purgatory to heaven. If you don't pay enough money, they will go to hell. The guy prayed and prayed and prayed, but he never had any peace of an assurance of salvation. He did everything they told him to do. But thank God he had the Bible. He had to study Greek and Hebrew to be able to read it, because he was not in the common language. That was the condition of entering the monastery and the priesthood in those days. You first of all go and do a study in Greek and Hebrew so you can read the Bible before you can now study the Bible and then become an ordained minister. So this man, as he studied the Bible, the Holy Ghost shed light in his mind. He said, "This, all these works, these indulgences, this, you know, doing things to try and get saved, is not working." And one day he's reading Habakkuk. And light, the entrance of your word giveth light. And light shines in the mind of this young monk. And he said, "I got it. I'm not going to get saved by works. I'm going to save it by faith." He accepts Christ. Immediately his guilt goes away. His heart is reborn. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This man now, he now sees the truth. And with that conviction in his heart, he writes his 95 theses. It's actually, I think it's November 17, if I remember rightly. Or November 11, I can't remember exactly. 1517, I know the year. In protest against the practices of the Roman Catholic Church, and nails it to the door of that church. That's how the Protestant move started. It swept through Germany. Many of the young people and some of the priests, they all agreed with him. That they were persecuted. They told them to recant. They said they would kill them. Many of them were killed. A lot of things. You know, to cut a long story short, the thing swept not only Germany, it swept Europe, the Scandinavian peninsula, and swept into England. And many of the guys in England got it. Translated the Bible into the common language. And consecrated and dedicated themselves to the God of heaven. The John Wesleys, the George Whitfields, and many others. God's Spirit moved in Europe, in Germany. Get to 1900. God now begins to move by His Spirit. And move the church into the next feast, Pentecost. See, it's all laid out. It's prophetic destiny. And 1904, Evan Roberts in Wales. 1901 in Topeka, Kansas, in America. 1906 in Azusa Street, the Holy Ghost began to fall. And people started getting baptized with the Holy Spirit and speaking tongues. Embraced by, not everybody, but embraced by a significant number in England. Embraced by a significant number in America, but Germany. The Lutheran Church and the leaders of the Lutheran Church rejected the Holy Ghost. And created a spiritual vacuum that the Antichrist spirit occupied. And raised up Adolf Hitler. We would not be speaking English this afternoon. We would have been speaking German. If history, the destiny of nations had gone on the track that God originally, because God did not start the Reformation in England, He started it in Germany. But what the church did changed the trajectory of the nation. That is why you and I now stand at the crossroads of destiny for Nigeria. what we do or do not do is determine the trajectory and the destiny of our land. But I have good news for you. There's some of us, my wife and many others, who've made up our minds. Even if it's four of us. If God could change an empire like Babylon with four, Nigeria is not a problem. Nigeria is not as big as Babylon. Years ago, God gave me a word. It was here, this church. We hadn't built all this fine. Well, it was in that place. On Sunday, we prayed for Nigeria. This was in 1998. We held the flag out here. We prayed. Then we came for 3 hours after. I can never forget it. I was praying over there. Daniel chapter 5 came to me. This day, thy kingdom is numbered and finished. I didn't pronounce it. I just received it and prayed in the spirit. That Monday, in the middle of the night, Abacha passed on. And the trajectory of Nigeria's destiny changed. He was planning to make himself a military head of state, which would have led to civil war. People had been bringing guns in. People had, remember, who the cap feet. People had sworn that if he tries it, this is what is going to happen. But you haven't heard half of the story. I got another prophetic word from Zechariah chapter 11. Three shepherds will be cut off in 1 month. I'm going to deal with more of this next week. I just give you a teaser. I really didn't fully understand what it meant. But I knew it was a word from God for Nigeria. Abacha dies June 8, 1998. Another general who would have been head of state, Halidu, he dies somewhere in between. I don't remember the exact date. Then M.K.O. Abiola dies July 7, exactly 1 month. And the removal of all of that was what now created the condition for the democratic rule that started in 1999. The destiny of nations is written in the word. But it all unfolds as individuals fulfill their destiny, causing the church to fulfill her destiny and causing the nations to fulfill their destiny. Stand to your feet. Next week, we will see how to see it in the word and how to fulfill it. We couldn't get there today. But the foundation has been laid. Let nobody fool you. Your destiny is already in the word of God. So, I got a word. You miss reading your Bible at your peril. I said it by the Spirit of God deliberately like that. You neglect reading your Bible and coming to church and hearing the Word of God at your peril. You know what you're just doing? You're throwing away your destiny. Because it's there. If you give time to it, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. He says, for they are life. But I can paraphrase that and say, they contain your destiny. They will bring life to you. But my son or my daughter, don't attend to my word. Don't incline your ear unto my sayings. Don't keep it in the midst of your heart. Don't let it depart from thine eyes, and you will not see what God has planned for you. It is God's will that you dig out your prophetic destiny. That's why I've given you some few examples about nations and all of that.
from the Word of God by the Holy Spirit. So you can see it. And then you can follow it. Let's talk to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation. By its light. Thy word, hallelujah, is a lamp
unto my feet
and a light. Unto my path. Thy word is my bread.
Thy word is my bread.
By thy word shall I live. Oh, how I love thy law. Thy word. And a light.
And a light unto my heart.
Thy word is my bread.
By thy word shall I live. Oh, how I love thy law.
As we go to pray, I want you to understand something of great significance from what I have shared with you this afternoon. The average evangelical, Pentecostal, Word of Faith and Charismatic Christian sees the Bible as a book of moral instruction. Don't steal, don't kill, don't commit adultery. And as a book of promises to meet your need. Healing, deliverance, my God shall supply all of your need. That is not wrong. But it is terribly incomplete. The Bible is not just a book of moral instruction. It is not just a book to meet your needs. It is a book that contains your prophetic destiny. And if you don't realize that, and you just treat it as a book of just telling you what is right and what is wrong, and telling you, you know, about what you need, you will fall far below your prophetic destiny. Hence, this prophetic message. Put one hand on your heart. Raise the other one to God. Oh, how I love thy law. Oh, how I... Sing it meditatively. It is my meditation.
It is my meditation all of the day.
Filling my heart and mind. And by its light,
by this light,
I will know the way of your destiny.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet
and a light unto my path.
Thy word is my bread.
By thy
thy word shall I live. Oh, how I love thy law.
Put one hand on your heart, the other hand. Say, Father, I confess my sins, especially the sin of negligence of your word. Reading, study, listening, using your word as a prophetic map that will show me my prophetic destiny. I repent, Lord, of just using it just for material promises and blessings. Father, I thank you for this word this afternoon. I now understand that your word is far beyond that. That my life, your plan for my life, is hidden in your word. So from now on, by your mercy and grace, I will take it much more seriously. I will read it daily, seeking for keys for my prophetic destiny. I will hear and listen to anointed prophetic and apostolic teaching and preaching so I can collect the necessary keys that I need to open the scriptures to see and walk in my prophetic destiny. Oh Lord, I will not treat your word with contempt, with neglect anymore. I will treat it with the respect that it deserves as the prophetic map of my prophetic destiny. In Jesus' name, amen. Neka solo prekete la mangardo fredesca. Merci, Lord. Rimeshele kikko fredenga rasko. Remashele kikko fredenges. Merci. Riketoloma shele piketo fredesca. Merci, Lord. Ratosko fredes. Merci. Father, thank you. Lord Jesus, I predict to Loma to Fredengask. Lord Holy Spirit, thank you. Celebrate to Loma to Redentus Cofredes. Non ditos Cofredes. Nosco Fredele to Loma to Fredes. Toloma to Fredes. Toloma to Fredes. Non Cestoloma to Loma to Fredes.
Thy word is a lamp unto my path
and a light.
Unto my path.
Thy word is my bread.
Thy word is my bread.
By thy word
shall I live.
That is literal.
Oh, how I love thy Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live, you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy and show you his salvation, even the perfection of the fullness of Christ. So Lord, impart unto you the anointings of Enoch, Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John. In Jesus' name. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to your neighbor and you say to them, oh, how you love his word. Oh, how you love his word. And you will have and see and fulfill your prophetic destiny therein.
In Jesus' name, amen. So no bones will be broken and no plague will come near your dwelling. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.